Rejoice, for God is with us, Emmanuel. In the darkness of our world, God's light shines. Lift up your hearts, for Christ is born. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all people. Let us come and worship this morning with joyful song.
In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." In the week of the final Advent season, we light the candle of Christ. We reflect on the coming of Jesus Christ and how just one small flicker of light can fill the darkness in the darkest of places. So Jesus, coming as an infant, brought light into the world. He brought the light of hope, joy, love, peace, where before hopelessness, sorrow, brokenness, and disorder seemed to reign. Today we light this last candle, the candle of Christ. We consider the gift of God, the gift of Jesus, given to save humanity from their sin. We reflect on this gift, which reconciled us with God as his children, which has made us certain of our inheritance of the kingdom of heaven, so that one day we each have the privilege of seeing the fullness of the glory and majesty of God. God 1:12-14 reflects on this, saying, "Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of not natural descent nor human descent or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth."
Prayer. This is sorry. There. Heavenly Father, today we recognize that when heaven met earth in supernatural birth of your Son, Christ Jesus, we are giving the gift of reconciliation with you. We thank you that in this event season, we have seen a glimpse of heaven. We have felt the presence of your Holy Spirit once again. We thank you that for us, a new significance. Has been formed around the telling of your birth. We ask, while event is, is it coming to an end? Keep dwelling in our hearts and stirring our spirits. We may remember the significance of this season. As we exit, we pray that we would continue to see the intersection of the vine and the earthly. May we catch a glimpse in heaven in our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Gracious and loving God, on this holy day, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude and wonder. Today we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who came to bring hope, peace, love, and salvation to all. Thank you for your gift of your Son, who humbly entered into this world as a baby in a manger. Help us to embrace the message of his birth, a call to love, a call to serve, and a call to share your peace with others. As we gather with family and friends, may your presence fill our hearts and our homes with joy. For those that are lonely, grieving, or in need, may they find comfort in the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. Guide us to live as Christ taught, showing compassion and kindness in all that we do. Let the light of Christmas shine through us so that others may come to know the hope and love found in Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, the newborn King, we pray. Amen. 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 This morning, our Bible reading is from Luke chapter 2.
In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you, he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
It's a great story, isn't it? Luke chapter 2. In good Aussie fashion, the two main characters of this story are a pair of unlikely heroes. We have a tradie, the carpenter, Joseph, and his pregnant wife. On a donkey, no less, because the Holden ute wasn't quite invented yet. They can't find anywhere to stay, so they end up giving birth in a stable. This would be like being pregnant, breaking down on the back country road and giving birth in a shearing shed today. Then we've got some pretty ordinary blokes out in the countryside looking after their sheep. Now, being a shepherd wasn't a high-class, high-paying job. We're talking about the kind of person these days whose job it would be to unblock the sewer. Both of these jobs were unclean types of jobs. Back in Jesus' day, it was a religious thing that made them unclean. And today, if you were unblocking a sewer, you would just be unclean, because that's a stinky, awful, disgusting job that only certain people who are gifted in that way should do. Not me. So imagine their surprise when some angels show up out of nowhere and start telling them the amazing news about God's Son. Jesus, the promised Messiah, had been born, and he's the one God has appointed to save the world. You would think the angels would be sent to some religious people, but no, they were sent to a bunch of ordinary working blokes on the side of a mountain out the back of nowhere. It can be easy to lose sight of the significance of this story. It can be easy to see this as a lovely story, a great myth. We have all these lovely Christmas cards with really sweet pictures of the nativity. But it looks nothing like what real life must have been. These pictures we have in the Nativity are covered in a cloud that hazes over what was really an amazing historical event. The birth of God into the world as a human being, when heaven met earth, fully God and fully human, is something no glossy Christmas card nativity could ever do justice to. In Jesus, we see the expression of the love of God the Father. The love of God expressed in Jesus empowers us to love God and to love others. His perfect love means that we're not afraid of God and we're not afraid of his judgment. That's why Jesus' birth is worth celebrating every year. Today we're going to unpack this familiar story very briefly. It's a story that's very familiar to many of us, but one that still has ongoing significance in our lives every day, not just on Christmas. Over Advent, we've been looking at a series called Heaven Meets Earth. And throughout these past 4 weeks, we've looked at different encounters when angels have come down and spoken to people. We looked at when the angel came and spoke to Mary. We looked at when he spoke to Zechariah. We looked at when he came and spoke to Joseph. And of course, last Sunday, when they came and spoke to the shepherds. And we're looking again at Luke chapter 2. When we see what the angels have to say, it starts with good news. It says, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news." Do not be afraid, I'm bringing you good news. God's angels are messengers from God. They relay to us what God has to say. So when an angel says, "Don't be afraid, I've got good news for you," that's a message straight from God to you and to me. God actually doesn't want us to be afraid of him or what he has planned for our lives. He is a good God. He loves us and is not waiting for an opportunity to strike us down with a lightning bolt. Have you ever heard someone say they don't want to come to church because they're worried about the roof falling down? That's not the God who loves us. Our God is a God full of good news. And that good news is for each one of us. It should be no surprise to anyone when I say that the world is pretty messed up. Things don't always go right a lot of the time. Because if they did, the Broncos would have won the premiership the last 15 plus years in a row. The world is pretty messed up. But in all seriousness, it is. We've all been hurt by people. To some degree, we've probably all hurt other people as well. Often that's a cycle. You hurt me, so I hurt you. And so it goes on and on and on. The good news the angels came to share is the but. The world is messed up, but don't be afraid, I've got good news for you. And that good news is Jesus. He is God's response to a world gone wrong. God could have wiped us all off the face of the earth, but instead he sent Jesus. Jesus is God the Son. When the Father sent Jesus, God himself came to live with us as one of us. Our God is not some far-off, distant God, untouched by our suffering. Instead, he came to live with us, and as we follow this story right through, we see that he came and gave his life for us, and that's good news. But it's good news with great joy as well. The angel went on to say, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy for all people." When you look at the word joy, it means so much. Great happiness, pleasure, amusement, animation, bliss, charm, cheer, comfort, delight. So many words. Oh, all in alphabetical order too. Glee, good humor, jubilation, luxury. You ever thought of joy as a luxury? Rapture, refreshment. Thought of joy as refreshment? Rejoicing, satisfaction, solace. Not a joyous solace. Treasure, treat, wonder. Joy is so much. And that's the way God feels about Jesus. It's also the way he feels about us. He is filled with joy when he thinks about us. In Jesus, God has come to live with us. and he thinks that's worth some, and he thinks that's worth throwing an everlasting party about. When the angel said, when the angel said this was good news of great joy for all people, he's talking about a great big party. When you think about it, God sending Jesus to deal with all that's messed up in me and you and the rest of the world is something worth having great joy about. Have you ever noticed that when humans try and fix up what's messed up, we might make a little bit of improvement, but a little bit down the track, someone else or us always finds a way of messing it up again. But when God sorts something out, it's quality work and it stays sorted out. God's gift at Christmas is Jesus. He came to sort out all that was messed up and make a way for us to be reconciled back to God. And that's a story that should fill us with great joy. Well, as we continue looking through Luke, it seems that the party broke out pretty quick after that. A few verses later, we're told that a multitude of heavenly hosts, in other words, lots of angels, appeared praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." When you grab hold of the good news with great joy, the result will be turning towards God in praise, giving Him glory and worshiping Him. So what does giving glory to God actually look like? It's celebrating who He is, thanking Him for what He has done. It's acknowledging that because of Jesus and how awesome He is, we can have a relationship with God. Not because we're good people, but because He is a good God. It's not about taking credit for our relationship with God, but admitting that the credit belongs only to God. And this is the heart of what Christmas means when we talk about repentance. It's turning from self-glorification to glorifying God. It's a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of behavior. It's about moving from a focus of self to a focus that gives God glory. We could end the story there, but there's more. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He favors. Peace sounds like a lovely idea. Who wouldn't like a bit of peace in their lives? In the Bible, peace refers more to just the absence of turmoil or strife. The word peace refers to a state of well-being in every aspect of our lives. It includes harmony, security, serenity, right relationships, wholeness, health, prosperity, and even success. And that peace starts by getting our relationship with God right, and everything else flows out of that. God is the source of peace and offers peace to those who trust Him. That's all that God requires of us, to trust in Him and trust in what He has done for us through Jesus. But what does trust look like? Well, we're not talking just about mentally agreeing with the idea that God is trustworthy. Have you ever seen a parent with a young child? The parent is the world to that child, and the child implicitly trusts them. Have you seen the giggles and delights when a parent swings the child around by their arms? The child trusts a parent and knows that there's no way in the world that they would do anything to hurt them. That's the kind of trust we're talking about with Jesus, putting our heart and soul into God's hands and enjoying life with Him. Through Jesus' life and ministry, we see what God is like. Jesus offers grace and truth and shows us the heart of the Father. He shows us a Father that loves us, a Father that loves us so much that he didn't even spare his own Son in pursuing us. In Jesus, we have a God who knows what it's like to be one of us, to deal with the day-to-day realities of life. In Jesus, we see what the Father is like, not a distant, unknowing God. In Jesus, we receive grace, the grace that we need for our failures, and the truth to lead us to change. So this Christmas, let us remember that Christ has come, and this is good news. And this good news brings great joy. And this good news brings glory to God. And giving glory to God brings us peace. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your gift of Jesus. As we give glory to God, may we continue to celebrate the good news. This good news that brings joy and peace to us. May we never lose sight of the fact that Jesus is the reason for the season. Lord, we want to live differently. We want to live for you. Live in a relationship with you. Live in obedience to your will for our lives, knowing that this is the best way to live. Because Jesus, you came that we might have life, and life in all its fullness. And my prayer for my friends here today is they would know life in all of its fullness. Because when heaven met earth in our hearts, Jesus dwells there. And because Jesus dwells there, we can experience true fullness in life. Lord, may we all know the reality of Christmas. This we pray in your name. Amen. Let me leave you with this Christmas blessing. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Mary and Joseph, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forever. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen and amen.